Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to The Magic Sponge, a final episode of Series 5. I'm Rob Beckett and it's a Lisa Mattress special edition. Thank you, Lisa.
Got to get that in, ain't you, Rob?
Yeah, exactly, because they're paying our wages. It's a special episode because of the guests we haven't... Oh, it's because Ray Parler's costly. That's why we've got to
what?
Get it. We've got to get it sponsored by Lisa because Parler's commanding a fee.
I don't mind a bid. I don't mind a bid for it. That'd be good.
We've got Jimmy Bullard, as ever.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
I say as ever. You do about a third of series.
No, you're right.
Just when you fancy it. Yep. Normally, Kev Gallen turns
Lucky
up.
I'm in today. I've been golf all day.
So. Ian Smith ain't here.
Thank fuck for that.
He rung.
It should be funnier.
He rang up going, oh, I've been writing and I forgot and I've just been writing. So he's on his way. He might turn up at some point. But forget about that. Our guest today is 3 times Premier League winner, 4-time FA Cup winner, 1-time UEFA Cup Winners' Cup winner, the founding member of the Tuesday Club. It's none other than the Romford Pele himself. It's
Ray
Parler.
How you doing, Rob? How you doing, Jimmy?
Yes, Ray Parler.
Thanks for coming in,
well,
mate.
I was a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday club then, Dave. Wednesday's Tuesday. Sunday was the best day.
Super Sunday, shit.
Super Sunday.
We're very thankful for you coming on, Ray. You've been at the top of our list for a long time.
Smart, Ray, isn't he? You look him on the box, yeah.
I'm not too sure about that, Jim.
Little Panerai number on the wrist, lovely, that, do you?
Not too sure about that, Jim. I don't know. I've got better with age, probably, while dressing up. When we was going Hollywoods in Montford, he weren't, you know, we had some rascal gear, me and Tony Adams.
But you look still in really good shape. A lot of the ex-pros let themselves go a bit. You look good.
Yeah, I do like to still go and do a bit of training sometimes, you know what I mean? I mean, he's knackered.
A bit
like yours, Jim. I've seen you on...
When you say training, what sort of training?
I'll probably go down the gym just to get out of the house in the morning. You go golf, didn't you?
Yeah.
And I'll probably go down the gym just to have go in there and have a laugh with the people in there, all the same sort of guys in there. So it's quite good.
Well, it's like Premier League winners.
It's like getting back to when you was a footballer.
It's like the locker room
That's the bit I miss the most.
Really?
Believe it or not, you love going on a pitch, you love playing the games, but during the week you have a right laugh.
Yeah.
I always said it's like going on a building site.
Yeah.
But you pay lots more money.
Simply, yeah.
than being a builder. Time. But that's what I miss the most. Believe it or not, some of the characters you would probably tell, like Dennis Bergkamp and all that, great players, but what a laugh they were as well.
Really?
Behind the scenes.
Well, because we've had Graham Stack on recently. And
he was a good lad. He used to sell everything.
He was a bit lively though, wasn't he?
Yeah, like
he was,
Bellboy,
yeah. He was in a good side then, wasn't he? He was in like the invincible side, wasn't he? He can't believe his luck, really. You know, getting a medal for being in
Did he get a medal?
Well, I don't know. He must have got a medal.
Did he say that? No, he missed out on the
medal. He must have missed out.
He just took the time with you over a medal.
Yeah, he loved it. He was a great lad. And I still see him every now and again now.
And obviously, you started the Tuesday Club with Tony Adams, is that correct?
Well, I wouldn't say I started it, but I was heavily involved in it towards the end, at the end of it. We had some big drinkers in our side.
And that was what, basically Tuesday?
Paul Merson, Steve Bold. Steve Bold was the biggest by a mile.
Really?
I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, when Tony Adams come out that he's obviously an alcoholic,
yeah.
I looked at Steve Bold, I went, Boldy, you drink double what he drinks, you're having a laugh. And he was like, I know, he's a lightweight.
Brilliant.
So, yeah, I mean, the Tuesday Club was great fun.
Was that because it was called that because you went out during the Tuesday because you had Wednesday off?
Always.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit different now with football, with the TV. They change the games all the time. But we knew exactly what our plan was during the week.
Yeah.
Saturdays you played only, early 90s. You always had Sunday off as well.
Yeah.
But Tuesday was always training at the Highbury. So we go there, it'd be a hard running session. So you'd be running around the pitch, up the terraces and whatever, whatever. But you'd always have Wednesday off. So the lads always would dress up a bit on a Tuesday. And George Graham was like, well, where are they going today? And obviously, he didn't like it. And I think he followed us one day. He followed us. This was when, I don't know why, we were training at the London Colney, which was our training ground. And we were still going to go out, but we went out in Potter's Bar for a change.
Yeah.
It was a bar in Potter's Bar. And I think George made... Stuart Houston follow us to see who's out, what's happening, and there was a reserve game the next day.
Okay.
So a few of the reserves were in there.
Yeah. All right.
And if they found them boys in there, that's it, you get fined. Mm. Simple as that.
Okay.
So I'm sitting there looking out the window, and I've had a few pints, but I'm thinking I'm not that bad. I saw Stuart Houston walk past. So I went, lads, Stuart Houston just walked past. They're going, what? Are you serious? No chance. You don't know that we were in here. Anyway, it was Stuart. I said, lads, whoever's playing tomorrow, you better get out the back door. So they'll run out the back door, a lot of the players who's playing that reserve game. I said, he's got to come back because his car's probably over the road. So we're all waiting by the window now. And what happens? Stuart Houston walks back, looks in again. And we're waving at him now. and we dragged him in and said, you know, he said, oh, the boss has made me follow you to see what you get up to, and he can't work out where you go and this, that, whatever. And it just shows you that he was always tracking us, George Graham, trying to track us.
I'm
sure Jimmy's been out like that, managers looking, watching you.
Have you had managers following you, Jim?
Yeah.
What was the famous one? Ferguson dragged Ryan Giggs out of a party once.
Oh, yeah, Lee Sharp.
Lee Sharp.
Went back, he said, you must back your ideas up. And then since then, Giggs, he was like, he went his neck in a bit.
Yeah, then Lee Sharp ended up on Love Island.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Copping off of Rebecca Lewes. Perry Groves, was he part of that group, wasn't he?
Groves, he was there.
Yeah,
Groves, he was a good lad. There was a time when when he first joined Arsenal, we couldn't believe like some of the lads were going out. And he was there before me. But he weren't a massive drinker then, Groves.
He's only little as well, isn't he?
No, he weren't a massive drinker. And he used to stand in the same place every week. And the lads couldn't work it out when we used to go out. Because he used to put his old pint in the old flower pot. And it'd be like, oh, what's another one? And again, you always go by Steve Bold as a focus.
A barometer.
Who can drink the most? Because no one can drink him under the table.
Yeah,
really?
And Boldy would have three quarters of a pint again. Fucking old Groves, he wants another one. What's going on?
So, and this palm tree's getting bigger.
So this one week, we all made sure we quickly had a shower. Me and Tony Adams got down as quick as we could.
Yeah.
And we stood in the same place he always stands.
So
he had to stand in an open space. But after three pints, if someone was stroking him on the head, he passed out in the corner.
Brilliant.
So I just showed. But Grosey was a great lad. And I see him probably every game now. I still love the home games. He does a little bit for Arsenal still.
Yeah. And then did you room with Tony Adams as well?
Tony was my room partner.
You idolised him a bit. Was he sort of like... your mentor, maybe.
I was his driver for a while as well, because obviously he got done drink driving. So I was driving him at training most days. And, you know, Tony was always one you always looked up to. He was a skipper of the club. He lived around locally to me in Hornchurch. So, you know, everybody looks up to Tony. And
is he
always.
Funny ways.
Do you know what? He's a little bit weird around people we don't know. But when I'm with him, we talk about the old stories, what we got up to, and he's good as gold.
He doesn't take no nonsense, though, does he?
No,
he's quite straight down the line. That's the story.
Well, he's struggling at the moment. Obviously, he's Spain. He keeps saying to me, do your badges. Do your badges right. I said, Tony, you're not going to get a job in England. So, what's the point of me doing my badges? He wanted to be number two. But we had some great times. I mean, we have some. Might laughs and you know, I mean going back to the plant pot when we nicked that in Palms Hotel, and then
you nicked a plant pot.
Well, it was
Perry Groves thirsty.
It was a story about, you know, we got in there and it's Christmas Eve, and my mum goes mad if I don't get her a present. It's no good putting no good putting money in a card. So I said to Tony, like, I'll have a couple with you, and then I'm off to shops before they close.
Yeah,
them days they closed a bit earlier than what they do now. So, you know, it's like you're having a great time. He's packed in his bar. We're having a right
no
laugh.
No chance you leave.
And I'm thinking, I've forgot all about the time. So when they come in, I look round and it's like 6:30. I'm thinking, oh no, the shops are closed. What am I going to do? And Tony's going, oh, don't worry about it. I said, no, my mum will kill me. She'll go mad. She wants that little bit of a present. She only wants for twice a year. She wants a present.
Yeah.
So we're all looking around this bar and there it was, a big plant pot over there. And she was she like that? And I said, oh, yeah, that'd do, Tone, that'd do. And it's a big old heavy thing it was. So now I've got my car outside in a car park. So we've carried it out, me and Tony have carried it outside, opened my boot up, put it in, shut the boot and gone back in to have another few drinks. So now I know the plant pot's in my back of my car. So we finish out a few pints and then I'm just about to go home more or less. Yeah. Obviously, I'm not going to get in my car.
Yeah.
But as I walk out, there's all police around my car, all waiting there. And they're waiting for me to come out the bar.
Yeah.
And I said, "What? You got a problem?" He said, "No, there's something in your boot from what Palm Zone." And I was like, "Oh, someone stitched me up. I've had a few drinks. I'll give my keys to someone else, and they put something in it, and I've tried to do that sort of angle." And he went, "No, the manager said you and Tony walked out with it, and it's on the camera that we can see you walking out in it." So I went, "Oh right." So obviously I opened the boot. There it is. He goes, "Right, we'll have to see what we do. Put it back." I helped him back in to put it back where it was. So my mum still, obviously, I told her the story then. And she was like, she let me off a little bit. She let me off a little bit. And I said, "I'll get you a present tomorrow, mum," or whatever. Or next, it was Christmas Day, so it was probably a Boxing Day or something. So I always remember the policeman. He says, "Right, you and Tony, after training, come down to Harold Hill Police Station and we'll find out what the Palms Hotel are going to do."
Yeah.
So now, me and Tony, after Tuesday, we finish our training session. Come and tell me, we've got to go down to the police station. Now, no one knows. George Graham don't know. No one. We kept it quiet until we know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So we walked in this police station. I always remember. Me and Tony walked in, and the policeman's waiting for us because it was a certain time we had to be there. And he looks at us. He goes, here they come. Here comes Bill and Ben. Here they come. And obviously, when they said that, we was let off the hook. Palm said, "Look, we got our plant pot back."
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah, they're not going to press charges. And we went like that. We went straight to the pub and said, "Oh, that's blinding." Yeah. Because we thought we were going to definitely, especially Tony Adams, because
did they find out?
He was an England captain.
Arsenal find out.
Probably England.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
No one find out, didn't
they? No.
Imagine their days, though, with Twitter and all that game.
Yeah, no chance.
It's game over, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You wouldn't be able to get it in your boot.
No, exactly.
You know what I mean? You'd be caught before then, wouldn't you?
So it was, be live streamed on Facebook Live.
You'd do well to get it out of the hotel.
We had a bullard and Windass of a plant bomb.
That was brilliant, mate. That was
did he stitch you up on your first team debut as
well? Yeah, he did indeed, yeah. what I used to do as apprenticeship, I don't know if Jimmy done it as well, but we had to sing carols as well. So them days you cleaned all the boots.
Yeah.
So I'm cleaning a couple of reserve team players at the time.
Well, how much older is he than you?
He was about 6 years older.
Okay.
So you always wanted the big players. You wanted the bigger ones because they give you more tip at Christmas. Yeah. And them days I was on about $27.50 a week.
Yeah.
That was our wage at apprenticeship. So I've got two reserve players. I've got about £20 each. The big players give the other players 50-odd or even 100. So I was gutted, really.
Yeah.
But all you had to do for your money was sing a carol, Christmas carol, on a box, outside, when everyone's there, they've got water waiting to go. And you never see
water over
you never see the apprentices so worried about singing a Christmas carol. In the dream, "Oh, what am I going to sing? Oh, this is going to be a night." I said, "Lads, just sing, you know, we wish you a Merry Christmas. Don't matter, does it?" Anyway, they're devastated. But in my head, I know exactly what I'm going to sing. And I only had to say two words, and I got chased around the training ground. What was it? Little donkey. And I looked straight at Tony Adams. Obviously, he's quite a big donkey. And he chased me, because obviously at that time, he was called Donkey.
We didn't like that nickname.
And he was throwing all carrots. And he was getting carrots thrown at him on the pitch. Yeah,
up at
Old Trafford. So all I had to say was little donkey, and he chased me around the training field, caught me all mud all over your face. But again, I didn't have to sing a carol.
But yeah, boys loved it, though, didn't they?
But the home debut or your first ever trip with the first team, I was about 17, and I went down to Norwich. Someone got ill or someone got injured or I don't know what happened. So I think someone felt ill in the dressing room. And he only took the right amount of players them days. So I get a phone call. I'm playing quite well in the reserves. You're coming down to Norwich. I'll get on the train. I'll get picked up at the train station or get a cab to the hotel. Now, this is the night where you have to make your first speech. I had gone to see Tony Adams. I said, "Tony, can you help me out? What do you have to do?" He went, "Right, Ray, this is what you have to do."
So you have to do a speech like dinner before?
At dinner. So bing, 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 right after dinner.
Because it's everyone's your debut around. Tomorrow,
It's going to be your first time with the squad, really. So I'm sitting at dinner and... I said to Tony, I said, Tony, what do I have to do? He said, just say, mention the manager, say thanks to George Graham for inviting you to with the lads. Great to be around all the lads, and you know, hopefully I'll be in there a lot more and all that sort of stuff. And then right at the end, he went, whatever you do, say something about the manager's tank top he's got on, because he really likes that. So I went, oh, nice one, Tom, nice one. So like clockwork, bing, bing, bing. So I do my little thank you to the manager, thanks to the players. Great to be around some great players. I like Dave Rocastle, Tony Adams, David O'Leary, all them sort of guys in this room. And right at the end, I'm going, so well. George Graham's liking what he's hearing. Then all of a sudden, I said, and by the way, boss, I'd just like to say, I really like your tank top. And everyone like that. He went, I think you've said enough now, son. Sit down. And all the lads went, I can't believe you said that. I said, well, Tony told me to say it. And he's laughing. But that's the sort of things it was. But then, because I said it, then you was part of the little bit part of the gang then.
Yeah, because you're... Yeah,
I was allowed to go in a pub with them. That's what they used to say.
That's
17. Brilliant.
Didn't you let off a fire extinguisher and pizza up?
I did indeed, yeah. That cost me a 2 weeks' wages as usual.
Really?
That was a bit of a nightmare, really. Again, Tony Adams was involved. We've been steaming all day, though. We've been out all day. And it's only taken for two, me and him. And some guys over the other side were getting a bit leery, and I think they were like a Spurs fan. I don't know who they supported. But they started throwing things at Tony, and I thought, this is out of order. This is terrible.
The carrots and stuff.
Yeah, and all, yeah, I was like, what? Tony, this is a joke. Obviously, a donkey again.
He's getting donkeyed off.
I was sitting right next to a fire extinguisher, and I was thinking, Tom, just pull the pin, and I'll spray him for you. So we paid the bill, off he goes, poof, pulls the pin, and as I went to spray it, it was so powerful, it went over my head like that. I sprayed all the people.
I've let a few of them up. Didn't they go?
Oh, mate, unbelievable.
Was it a powder one or a water one?
It was water, and it was like, sorry. Anyway, we took all the pieces flying everywhere. Anyway, it was glassy smashing. A few guys on our side were laughing because they knew what they was doing this for. They were trying to like impress their girlfriends or whatever.
Did you get them wet though in the end?
Oh, absolutely soaked. Everything was fine. There was pictures coming off the wall.
I've got an extinguisher story out of this.
It was really like it got a bit dangerous. All glasses are smashing. It was awful.
Yeah.
So anyway, we walk out. I pin it back onto the little hook as we walk out. This guy comes out, but Tony's a big old lump. Tony's like 6'4". And he went, "What are you going to do, mate?" He went, "Nothing." As he walked back in again. So yeah, we went missing that afternoon into another little social club, where no one knew, like, you could get away with it, stay there all day. Anyway, we got a Chinese then on the way home that night, and I always remember the police car turning up outside, and I had a bag of Chinese. He went, "Have you been to Pizza Hut today?" I said, "No, look, I've had Chinese." So in the end, it did come out, and I always remember Tony, because you always know the night before when it's going to be in the front page of the papers, and it was front page.
Oh, really?
So George Graham again, he's waiting, he comes in, he looked at me and Tony, he said, "You two better play well today."
Tank top.
Anyway, no tank top, mate. We drew 0-0 against QPR, I think it was. And we walk into his office after, and he looks at Tony, he looks at me, right, okay. He looks at me, 2 weeks' wage is fine. I went, okay, I accept that. Yeah. Tony, no problem, you'll let off. I was like, what? It's Tony's fault. Anyway, George Graham loved him, Tony.
Oh, really?
He let him get away with murder.
To be fair, he only pulled the
pin. But in the end, Tony Adams did give me half of my wages. He said, I'll give you half back.
So I
only got a week's wages fine in the end because Tony gave me the other. I mean, in them days, only about £350 a week it was on.
Yeah.
So £700 I'd give him. Brilliant. And he weren't cash, by the way.
No. Brilliant. Did you let off a fire extinguisher?
Jim, have you?
Yeah, it wasn't in the pizza. This was funny. It just come to me then because I've let off plenty of water ones.
Yeah,
but I didn't know foam or dust. I don't know what it was. Some kind of
powder.
Short powder existed. I didn't know that. Right,
and so, you thought they were all water.
But mate, I'm going to mention Michael Weirs. Right, he had a new girlfriend, and I stayed. Michael's just one of my friends. He's a weirdo. Was in his place, and I stayed overnight. And the next morning, I'm just playing up, and I find that extinguisher outside his ass. Outside, he lived in flats, and it was outside. And I thought, get him here. Knocked on their bedroom door, and. To be fair, he's having a cuddle with his missus. And I'm like, what are you doing under there? As they both lift their head out the quilt, I just go, this thing makes a noise. The thing, what you're saying about power, this one's got an actual hosel.
Like an exhaust.
Like that. This thing, I couldn't wait to press it. I've gone, fuck off. The thing has done the whole room. Now, I swear, you can't see nothing. I'm like, but I think this is a great feeling. And I've held my hand on it for another 20 seconds. I'm like, then I run. Right, I run. He calls me four times. I'm in the cafe. I'm going, oh, no, he's fuming. But best go back. End up going back. I swear down him and his missus, pure white. Well, no. Like, hanging up their eyelashes. He went, you're a fucking disgrace. Meant to be my mate. Trying to get my leg over. You spray me like that. I've walked in the room, the whole thing. I swear, Dan, all white. He's got to phone his mum, come and clean it. I've had to give her £200. I said, I'm so sorry. Imagine going to say sorry to your mates. It's embarrassing, isn't it?
Why
it's
did he have to get his mum to clean it?
Because the phone, what happened?
No, no, but why not get a cleaning for a bit?
Because his mum was a very good cleaner.
She's turned off.
Is it Molly from Molly?
The thing you don't understand with this phone, it fucking went everywhere. It weren't just that room, it done the whole kitchen. It's out everywhere, honestly. And she's gone, Jim, what the thing we clean? I've got to start from sealing the top. And that was that. I ruined it.
You should have set up a little fire in there. Yeah. Box of matches, make a little flame go up and then do it.
I mean, it's justified.
It was, I'd done half a big canister of it.
Was it?
Joke, yeah, it's real good though.
We can't do that these days though.
No,
I mean, Jim, do we? We've grown up there, Jim, haven't we?
I haven't, no. I'm still looking for one.
Go for a drink after this.
It'd be lovely to let one up in here, wouldn't it?
Let's go for a pizza out and a Chinese. But didn't you accidentally drink before a Liverpool game as well?
I did, yeah.
Hang on, how did you accidentally drink?
Yeah, I didn't accidentally drink, but what it was, I was in the squad.
It was replanted.
I was about, 20? Replanted
a
what?
Joke about very gross plant holder. Replanted. Oh, wait, I got that. Forgive me. It's gone.
I'll get me coat.
I just run out of words. I had three words.
That's like you.
Sense.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, what was that story was, Jim? You've heard that, haven't you?
I was about
20, I suppose. I made my debut at Anfield about two seasons before. And again, George Graham was there. And what he used to do is put loads of people in a squad. So you might be five or six not playing.
Yeah, got you.
So I was one of the players who were not playing.
To keep you on your toes?
Yeah, well, I've got my tie on and all that. And I said, Steve Bold or one of the older pros or one of the players who weren't playing. So I said, lads, I'm a youngster. What do you do now?
Yeah.
And one of them went, I'm going to go for a few pints upstairs in the old Carlsberg Lounge. I went, oh, fantastic, that sounds good. So off we go, you know, enjoying it, all the scousers in, having a laugh with them and whatever. So I'm probably on my fifth pint, 10 minutes before kickoff. And I think they've been hunting me downstairs. They don't know where I've gone and whatever. But I don't realise this at the time. So all of a sudden, this door comes open. Stuart Houston, our assistant manager, walks up. What are you doing? I said, I'm just having a drink here, Stuart. I'm going to go and watch the game now. Mm-hmm. You mean, get yourself downstairs now. The manager's fuming. What? What do you mean? Someone's got injured in a warm-up. Your sub. And I'm like, that. Fucking hell. And one of the players went, well, let him finish his fucking pint then. For fuck's sake. Which I didn't, obviously. Yeah. Put my pint down, lad's got to go.
As I went down there,
I should have sat in the bottom. Boom, boom. As I went down, I'm stinking of booze. I've had five pints. I'm a little bit sozzled.
At a young age.
So I put my kit on and all the lads on the older bench going, you stink of booze, fucking hell, have a chewing gum or something. So I'm putting chewing gum in my mouth. So I'm thinking, I might not get on, I probably won't get on.
Yeah.
20 minutes to go, George Graham, warm up, you're going on. I'm going, oh, for fuck's sake, not 20 minutes.
And
you know when you're running up and down the line, you can feel the beer going down your belly. I think it was Liverpool subs at the time were going to me, was you out last night? Was you out? Because you stink of booze. I said, no, I've had five pints upstairs.
What are you telling them?
So anyway, I didn't get on in the end, thank God. I didn't get on.
Imagine that.
Oh, mate. So after the game, George Graham, well done, looked at me. Was you in the bar before the game? I was like, obviously I can't say no.
Yeah.
Yes, boss, I didn't know I was playing. I got 10 minutes before kickoff. I got told I'm playing or sub. He went, 2 weeks' wages. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Right.
How many 2 weeks? I think 1 month. I think I was down. I owed them money. Fucking hell. Have you ever done that?
Have you ever done that?
Where you owe them money?
Not that much time. Well,
he owes Hull about £4 million.
I've got 3 2 weeks' wages fine in a month. So I think I owed him 2 weeks' wages.
Didn't know there was 6 weeks in a month.
That was making money.
Didn't you have a bit of trouble as well when the Far East tour with... didn't you get arrested? Was you get a caution?
Yeah, I got arrested there. Again, that was walking back from... this was our last night and we had to be on a plane at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And it was about 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
And a bit of the reception at 8 o'clock. And we're walking back, a few of us, and we got into a bit of a... And there's a triad area, it's a dangerous area. And then some guys were attacking us. I mean, and I was very drunk. And
yeah.
We were so pleased the police turned up because we would have been battered.
You can handle yourself,
right? Well, not about not, 10, not, with swords. Not, with swords.
Not 10 triads of swords.
With a sword, with
swords,
machete.
No wages. What do you want me to do?
With machete. And anyway, I had to stay another 2 days. I got put in a prison for a day and a half.
A proper, like, prison?
Yeah, it was like a holding cell and all that. And he was in there quite a while. And then obviously...
Did you meet any other prisoners?
They went, well... I had chicken chow mein about 3 times that day. It's unbelievable. I said to him, do you want any Tabasco sauce? I fancied if it spiced it up a little bit. And they go, what? Yeah. And believe it or not, one of the guys who was having a fight, was in the same cell as me. And I was like, I think he had a fight with one of the players. I think it might have been Chris Kouamia. Believe it or not. And do you know what it's like? I'm in a cell with him now. I'm going, yeah, no, he's a twat, Chris Kouamia. I don't like him either. You know what you think? He's going to knock me out. And I was going, yeah, no one likes him. Yeah, I would have done.
You've done
the right thing now.
You picked the right one.
So anyway, they got the best lawyer they could get, Arsenal, to try and get me out of trouble and whatever. So I got out, let him bow, and he comes to my room. I'm going to court the next day, and he said, well, were you looking at 6 months in prison? I'm going, what? I need to stand up for myself. Someone's attacking me.
So, with a machete.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And he went, well, that's the rules are quite, you know, heavy out here. I was going, oh, no. And I was thinking, Jesus.
Oh, no. All he said was, oh, no.
Sounds like
my missus is pregnant. She don't even know.
Ray, you're savage.
My first child.
She was like,
she's going to watch the news in the morning. And I'm in court.
His reaction's like, he's forgot his sandwiches.
I know. Well, it might have been a bit more than that.
Oh, yeah. No, never guess what. I'm only going to go inside for 6 months in Hong Kong.
Yeah, I was thinking I definitely had a Western Subaru. But it was one of them where I went to court and the guy stood up and obviously he had a really good reputation. And all he said was my name. I'm really sorry. This, that. He won't do it again. He's got a great, clean bill of health in England and this, that, whatever. And the guy went, £180 fine. And paid £100 costs. I was like, fucking hell, that's all right. Yeah. I like, what result that is. So next minute, we're going back to the airport. We've got a plane straight out because the travel manager was fuming because he wanted to go home. Oh. And he's got to stay another day and a half with me just to set it for the court. So I got on a plane. I said, should we have a few drinks on the way back? He's like, fucking drinks. I was supposed to be back in England 2 days ago.
Calm down.
So I know, like, we better stay off the booze then. And when we got back to, obviously, the airport, all the press are there and... And the thing was about it, Ken Fryer was one of our main men back at the... he's still there today. Yeah. He said, right, you've got to come back to the training ground. Well, we'll chat with you about the Hong Kong situation. So I went, all right. And Tony Adams weren't driving then. He had to come back with me. I said, Tony, it's up to you. What do you want to do? Oh, drop me at the Bank of Friendship round the corner. Hurry up in a meeting and then we get back on our bikes, sort of thing. So I drop him in the pub, Tony. I'll go round to see Ken Fryer. And he give it all the spiel. It's not accepted all, you know, it's Arsenal Football Club. I said, Mrs. Fryer, I'm really sorry. Won't happen again. Mr. Fryer.
It's a good start, isn't it?
Yeah. It won't happen again. And he went, 2 weeks' wage is fine. I said, yeah, I totally agree.
That's your nickname, right?
I totally agree. And then he went, just about to walk out the door. And he went, Ryan, I've got another problem. What's that? I went, we've just got the solicitor's fees, the bill come in for Hong Kong. £12,000. And I was like that. I said, okay, yeah, thanks for that, helping me out. He said, no, we're not paying for it. You're paying for it. Oh. And I had to pay £12,000. That's like half a year's wages.
How much was you on a week then?
£350. £300, yes. Something like that, £350. And I had to pay £12,000 back. Yeah, but what they're trying to do is teach you a lesson.
Which, did you make a profit out of football, Ray, or a loss?
yeah, just to be fair, I don't know really. I'll have to work it all out. In them days, I was losing. Yeah. Promise you.
I think you caught up at the end of your career.
But he was only young and you learn from your mistakes, didn't you? But that did hurt, that £12,000 fine. And I went round, Tony Adams, it's so funny, and he went, what happened? Oh, Tone. I was like, fucking hell. I went, I've got done 2 weeks' wages. Yeah, that's what you expected. I said, no, I've got to pay £12,000 for the solicitor's fees. He went like that. You better have another pint and some peanuts. Oh, cheers, Tone. I was waiting for him to say, like he did before, I'll pay half for you, but he didn't that time around. I had a pint of Guinness. He's been drowning my sorrows. I was like, oh.
Brilliant.
In the Forest tour, didn't Nigel Winterburn tackle you?
Yeah, he tackled me. I think Steve Bubb was hallucinating.
Because he was all just out of it playing.
Oh, yeah. We was on a riot. Proper session. I mean, I think one of the stories.
So this was in one of the friendly games?
With Tony Adams as well. A room with Tony, obviously. So we was out one day. This is 94, 95 again, the tour. So we're going along the road. We walk 50 yards. There's an Irish bar. So I was with Steve Bold, Nigel Winterburn, myself, obviously, and Tony Adams. So we walk in this bar. It's not even open. So Tony goes, oh, let's wait for the, how long? And they recognise Tony. No, he's still drinking.
Yeah.
He recognised Tony. He said, oh, Tony, have a drink. Yeah, no problem. What do you want, lads? So we have a few pints. Obviously, it opens and it's getting really lively. We've got to be back at 6 o'clock that evening
yeah.
for dinner. We've got to be back then. And it's like 12 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, it's really lively and right laugh and whatever. And then everyone goes back to work. It's gone a bit quiet again. Now the guy's giving us free drinks. We've been there at 5 o'clock, quarter to six. I look at my watch and say, lads, we better go back. And we're all a bit sozzled. And Tony went like that. I'm the manager. We're staying here. I went, all right then, Tony, no problem. So next minute, we're there, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Now people coming in again for the evening. We're having a great time. We're going to have a big party back at our... Yeah, that's what he said. Because it was Stuart Houston at the time, because George Graham had just been sacked.
Oh, OK.
And so he was like the caretaker manager.
Oh, so it wasn't a proper... Yeah.
So it was about 9 o'clock, half past nine, and we're having a right laugh. We're going to get people back to the hotel and have a party and whatever. There's all blokes over there thinking, we'll have a party with all the Arsenal players and whatever. So anyway, we get to about 10 o'clock and the manager of the place comes up and says, we've got a massive problem. We're like that. We're drunk. We're going, oh, no, Stuart Houston's here, the manager. So we went, no, your captain has just fell off the end of the bar and he's laying on the dance floor. Tony Adams has fell off the end of the bar and he's laying on the dance floor, people dancing around him. So we're like that. Oh, he's ruined the night again. He's ruined it. So we have to drag him up, and Steve Bowles a big old lump. He's about 6 foot
it's
five.
Ian Smith.
Hello, mate. Hello, Ian. Hello. We're finished.
You
can't wait for
a story. You guys are early, aren't you? Can't wait for a story. Tony Adams on the dance floor.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, so we're there, and
parallel. It was parallel.
We get him up somehow. We get him back to the room.
Yeah.
So we throw him on the bed. He's got his clothes on. He's passed out. So anyway, I go in the bathroom. Clean my teeth or something. I can hear him on the phone. I don't know what he's doing. Can I have this? Can I have that? And what he's done, he's rang room service and he's ordering all these sandwiches. He don't know what he's doing. Anyway, I don't know what he was doing. I've come out. He's passed out again. So all his clothes, I'll just leave him. That's perfect. Yeah. I get into bed.
So you're rooming with him?
Yeah. 1.5 hours later, bang, knock on the door. I'm thinking, who's that? And I'm like, I'm not a heavy sleeper. Do you know when you look through the little pinhole?
Yeah.
I look through and there's a little Chinese man standing there. I said, what's he want? I didn't know what he's done. So I opened the door,
I'm just quite a lot of information for this story.
I was more expecting to shoot Houston, to be honest with you. I was expecting him, he might have been in disguise, I don't know. Like Kato. So anyway, I opened the door, and there he is, this little Chinese. I said, all right, mate. He went, room service. I said, no. You've got the wrong room, mate. He went, no, definitely room service in this room. And then I look around the corridor. There's about 8 trolleys of sandwiches. I'm like, oh, no. So now I'm parking them. 2 there, 2 in between us, 1 there, 1 in the bathroom. I've got sandwiches everywhere. And Tony's like that. Tony's passed out on the bed. He's passed out. So I'm thinking, what am I going to do now? So I have a couple of sandwiches. I thought I might as well have a couple. Yeah. And then I went back to bed. So I'm like 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm still asleep. Tony now nudging me. Right. And he's right as rain.
Yeah.
He's sort of a guy, he can't remember nothing.
They forgot the ham and pickle.
Right, no, listen. He wakes up and says, Ray, what a great night last night. I said, Tone, you ruined it. You fell off the end of the bar. Pit was dancing around you on the dance floor. And he went like that. Oh, what? I can't remember that. Then he looked around the room and went, was you hungry last night or not? I said, it was you, 150 quid worth of sandwiches. Which was like 95. That's half a week's wages.
Yeah, brilliant.
He did pay for him, though. He did pay for him.
Different class.
So that was Tony Adams. He was a great guy, though. But he did give up drinking.
It was sort of like the new era at Arsenal, wasn't it? When he gave up the drinking and went like, and then coincided like a bit later on Wenger coming in and stuff like that. And he got a bit more sort of serious, didn't he?
Yeah, he did indeed. He started coming out with a lot of words with 10 letters or more, Tony.
Oh, really?
He didn't know what they meant, but he sounded very good.
Something's changed, yeah.
But it was one of them where, you know...
You still went out, though, and drunk, did you? But not as much.
Tony said to me, when he gave up, he said, please don't ask me ever to go out with you.
Yeah.
Again, to pubs, and which I didn't. I've respected him, and you know, and to be fair, he got over that, and you know, credit to him, really. I mean, he was a player that everybody looked at, but he had a lot of willpower. Once he said he's going to do something, He made sure he did it, and he said it was affecting my life. So he said, "I've got to change. I can't do what I'm doing."
Yeah,
because he can't remember half of it. That's the problem he had. And so he was just affecting everybody, his kids and everyone.
But did you? Would you like? Obviously, then you sort of knew Lisa Life with like you know when you played when Burke.
He probably saved my career, Tony.
Do you think so?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it was a big part of it.
Because did you ease off? As well, I
was very easily led.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to say when Tony said, "Come out of a drink." It's very hard to say, "Nah, I'm going to go home, Tony." You couldn't resist it. We had a right laugh.
Yeah, and it was
and
fun.
And
you
enjoyed it. So when he didn't go out anymore during the afternoons, I still had mates who were at work and that. Sometimes we went out, but not every day and not 3 or 4 days a week.
Yeah.
So then, and then obviously Wenger come in as well.
Yeah.
So it was
you can't
perfect. It was either go that way or go that
perfect.
Way.
Yeah.
So the timing was perfect for me. Both situations.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because you said with like with Bergkamp coming in, was that you when you saw De Canio at West Ham?
Yeah,
he showed you that if you can be more, you know, disciplined and it's a team first rather than.
Well, he showed you how professional, unprofessional we were, really.
Yeah,
I mean, him
and Ian Wright guys. Looked up to him as well, so it was like
he's brilliant. Bergkamp was.
How good was he, right?
He would practice on his own, Dennis. Really? We'd finish training, we're all walking in, and Dennis would stay behind with a bag of balls, just chipping them onto the bar.
Yeah,
and not to get better, just to maintain his standard. And he was unbelievable.
And you sort of think, well, if he's the best player here and he's staying late. While we go,
exactly. So we started staying behind a bit more. But he was a very clever player. He knew he could look after himself as well. People don't see that.
Yeah,
he
could do people.
He could do people.
I was playing at West Ham. We went to the.
He done Steve Lomas once, didn't he?
Went to Arsenal training ground. I couldn't believe how big he was.
Mm.
He's quite a size, weren't he? Yeah, he was a small fella.
6'1".
Yeah.
He was.
Even Wenger's quite.
Do you know what I mean? And I thought, he's not as small as what I thought.
You'd been in the song,
you know
though.
I mean?
In the
but when I first see him, and I thought, hang on, he's a bit of a lump. Him, he weren't small. He was a lot bigger than I thought. A lot more stature about him, and I thought, blimey.
But what he done so well, he read you as well. If you was running down a blind alley, you think I've only got one pass now in there.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to look. He would read your mate. He's only got one pass. I'll just drop off, and I'll make sure I'm there.
Yeah.
You just pass it in there. There he was. If you did pass it in there sometimes, he wasn't playing, it'd go to one of their players and everyone's going, oh, what a terrible player. He could read what you was...
Cute, wasn't he? Yeah, as a proper player.
And if you ask Henri and Ian Wright and people like that, they got all goal-scoring records. Oh, it was a lot to do with Dennis Bergkamp.
Yeah.
With assists, you know. He was putting a... You know, you're getting off and forth, he'd putting a plate for you.
Can I just ask, what point of the
you're
script?
You're late, you can't ask nothing,
yet.
They've just come into the new players.
We've got Furlong left, mate.
I don't want to repeat anything, Ray Parler, have you got any
funny stories? You haven't done your chance yet.
Oh, man.
Basically.
Are you doing it right, mate?
You got any funny stories?
You could have made an effort to get here.
You brought a fucking sandwich on the route. You didn't rush it.
Got a hole in your jeans. What, you catch him in a pedal or your bike? What's
Yeah, well, basically, I was wet when I got the phone call saying that
you knew Ray was
out of the show.
It's a big Ray Parler.
I was too nervous to come. Yeah, so I just put some clothes on, then I dried as I was running here.
So you had a shower?
I didn't have a shower.
Why was
I
so wet?
Because I'd had a shower.
Who's a shower at 4 in the afternoon?
Me!
What you
Someone
doing?
Who doesn't realise they got shit on. I didn't know I had anything.
You should realise you've got shit on you.
You've actually got shit on.
Yeah.
Look at the state, yeah.
Well, I mean, I had to put clothes on immediately and then run, mate.
Ian, do you want to write a chant for Ray Parler?
I had a dodgy one when I asked Arsenal.
Yeah, what's your chance?
Who are Ray Parler? That could have been a bit more imaginative.
A bit more what?
Imaginative. Imaginative. I'm getting Tony Adams again.
Yeah.
He taught me that word.
Is that all it was then? The only chance?
No, who are Ray Parler? I think my name's a bit dodgy, isn't it? I mean,
not a lot rhymes with Parler.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
I think the fans was finding it very hard to find a song for me.
What
was yours, Jimmy? What was yours?
It's only one Jimmy Willard.
Was it?
Oh, what's wrong with him again?
I got a few.
What's wrong with him again?
I had one from Ipswich.
He's shake.
Jimmy Bullard. Oh, no, no. If you all shut up, I'll tell you.
Oh, okay.
But you keep fucking interfering with my brain.
I can't. You dress like Jimmy Savile. It's hard to take you seriously. You know you've got a red tracksuit top on. Your weird little.
Do you know what I mean? Why do you have to fucking come
curvy hair and then a pair of trousers?
Always just because I'm a bit funnier than you. You always get the amp. Do you know what I mean? I'm fucking trying my hardest. Now you got your power, yeah? You start piping up, didn't you? Now just let me think of the fucking song and shut your mouth.
Let's all be quiet. He's
right.
Think.
Basically, I'll let you shag my wife in it. And that's all you're getting. And that was the song.
That's not a song.
It is a song.
Now you've given the statement.
Oh, yeah.
at least give us the tune.
So I used to go down and take all the corners, right? And then they used to sing, "You're the love of my life with Jimmy Burlard. I let you shag my wife with Jimmy Burlard. Just to me when you say." That is the song.
Yeah,
that's
the song. It's a good song.
Right. Don't try and leave a little one on me.
I'm not
going to
leave nothing on you.
Yeah, just because I've done you.
You've done me. It's
right, lovely. Road. Yeah, go on, buddy. One more. Why not, done Beckett. Get on that. Yeah, that's staying in. Fuck you.
It's a real cohesive unit, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes! I'm so happy I done Beckett.
What we go, this section of the song is called Fat Chance, apparently, because proper people's champ keeps tweeting, that's what we should call
it. Oh, he tweets every day saying, call it Fat Beckett. Chance. I don't know who he is.
Look at Beckett, he's still waiting. You're lying in a lineup.
He's waiting for an equaliser.
Yeah, he's going to hammer me in a minute.
I'll two-foot you in the last minute.
He's putting two subs on in a minute, you're in it.
He's got a forwards. Right in a staunchion.
He's got two forwards on.
Right in a Playboy mansion.
In his boat, coming on me on now. He's struggling here. Yeah, he's struggling.
Little Ray behind him in the jam.
No, don't worry about that.
Don't worry about that.
Was that a Shirley Temple song?
Oh, you still got that? Yeah. Where's your caravan and all that?
Do you ever get Chipbo and all that? Yeah.
You used to get that because you got long hair.
There's only one Mrs. Parlour when I got divorced.
Yeah.
From the corner. That was Cardiff. I was playing the whole city then. And it was, I had to laugh. Yeah. Funny. You know, things like that. It's got a great banner.
Yeah.
It's all right. All them sort of things, stuff. You know what I mean? A big deal.
It's because Tony Adams learned the piano and sings Ray a lot.
Yeah, he did learn the piano.
He sing to you?
Well, that's when he gave up drinking.
He
changed a little bit. He changed a little bit tone, and obviously coming out with some poems and all that.
He started doing poems,
and he learned the piano, which.
But the thing is, it's quite an extreme, isn't it? How'd you go from falling off a bar in the Far East to then?
Yeah, this was like two or three years into
non-drink
booze, and it was helping him. I don't know all these hobbies he had then.
Yeah,
he done me a song once with his organ. In Manchester.
He rang you, sung you a song?
He bought his organ all the way to Manchester.
He wrote you a song?
No, he done me a song. And
he
I didn't know what
song.
Yeah, he bought his organ on the bus. Because them days he went by a coach.
Yeah.
Bus
How big's his organ?
It was probably, look, you can't see it on the audio podcast, but he's about, what's that?
Two bottles of 2 litre Coke.
So it was a situation where he bought into them, and the lads were killing him. You know, it's like, can we get on top of the pops? Can we do this? Can we do that? Can we get a number one hit going? And Tony went, no, I promise him I'll do him a song. And we was playing cards after dinner, and Tony walked around the back of me, 9 o'clock, I'll do that song for you. So right, son, I'll be there. And I had a blinding hand as well, seriously. And I said, lads, I'm going to be late. If I play this hand, I'm going to be late for his song. Folded it, off I went. Key card in. Tony set his organ up. Beer, beer, beer.
I'll see you in the bedroom with him.
Yeah, synthesizers, a bit more bass. So I'm thinking he could be half decent here. 20 weeks he's been practicing his song. So I'm thinking, what's he going to be? I haven't got a clue what he's going to be. He looks around, you ready? I said, yeah, two right, I'm ready. Do you know what song it was, Jim?
Little Donkey.
He weren't Jimmy Bullard. He wasn't your song. He wasn't Little Donkey. It was even better than that.
What was it?
We'll be coming round the mountain when we come.
Shut up.
We'll be coming. Well, he wasn't playing. He was singing it. He was like.
No,
anyway,
what did you do?
That night I thought he's lost the plot, hadn't he? Fucking hell. So, but I went downstairs the next morning. I said,
just used to in the room.
Yeah.
So hang on. Let's get this right.
Yeah, but he promised me to do me a song.
I've got to get the picture. Tony Adams has brought like a proper organ in the room.
Yeah.
He's doing all the synthesizers and he's going to sit there, right?
I got into bed. I'm looking at his backside now.
He's got it all set up.
He's
facing away from you.
Yeah.
And you're laying
in bed.
Yeah. And he says, you ready?
So he turns around and goes, you ready, mate?
And I say, yes, Tone.
Yes, Tone. And then he goes, we'll be running around him when we come.
Yeah, that was it.
And then when it finishes,
I said, that was brilliant, Tony. I said, I could have done that in 6 weeks, I think. I said something like that. And it was, no, it was all right. It was laughing in the end. And then the next morning was funny.
Was it good, though? Was it in tune? What
Not
was...
really, no. No, I've said 20 weeks.
Tony Adams singing, coming around the mountain.
Anyway, it was... 20 weeks. We went down in the breakfast the next day. Went down breakfast, and all the lads can't wait to see me. What song was it? We've had bets on it. We've had sweepstakes on it.
What year was this?
It would have been 97. We've had a bet on it. We've had this. We've had that. So I went, lads, I'll give you £5,000 of my own money. You ain't going to get it. So I let them all have a guess. No. In the end, they give up. we're coming around the mountains, and that's when they all went, we got to get him back on the booze as quick as possible. And obviously we didn't. We didn't get him back on the booze. So, oh, no, but he was a legend, Tony. Absolutely, I love but him. But when I speak to him all the time now, he's a great lad.
When like Bergkamp and like Henri and all that turned up, though, obviously it wasn't as raucous, but they were still like Bergkamp still did pranks and stuff, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, about, like, yeah. Was he pulled my shorts down once. Yeah, I'm just about to go on in a pre-season game. Pack stand behind me.
Oh, so like you're out on the pitch? And...
Well, no, I'm sub with Dennis's sub as well, yeah. And I'm five standing up in. Ready to go on, and he comes around, whips my shorts down. Front of all the stand, I'm like, oh no. And what you used to do when you had your arms around people,
yeah,
tell me you have your pictures done,
yeah,
you do it then round about and wipe people's shorts down.
You used to do it to Vic Akers as well.
Vic Akers was a blinder,
he always wet shorts, did he?
Vic was great, I love Vic. He would come up there, and what it was, there was a load of women upstairs this one day in the training ground, and he loved a freebie. Vic,
is he still there though?
Yeah, he's still there, Vic.
He's a last
season, so he was my youth team, he was my manager under 14s. Mm. So he's been there many, many years.
Yeah.
So he loved a freebie, Vic. So he's come up and they're giving all this stuff away to wives, girlfriends and all that, big bags of stuff and whatever. So Vic's gone in and gone, all right, girls, what you got? And he's sort of leant against this door and Bergkamp's gone round the back of him, whipped his shorts down. And he didn't know where to do his, pull his shorts up quick, yeah. Or he just stood there like that. And he quickly, whoa. And he went, oh, you're out of all of you lot. That's a joke. And the women were like, oh, they turned away. He said, you could have let me warm it up a bit. He's like a little bad mushroom.
What, that's it?
Oh, oh, no. No. He had nothing on underneath.
Oh, the Corey
no,
come
he had nothing.
Little
bad
mushroom.
Said, Vic was, he was laughing, though, and it was funny. Really. We sat in the dress, well, we sat in the training room about at least an hour and a half laughing. Well, I couldn't get in my car. I was laughing too much.
Brilliant.
And Vic did take it well, to be fair. The French lads were... couldn't believe how we used to muck about.
Really?
They'd be like that.
Yeah.
We don't do that. We you know.
Didn't you threaten Petit?
Yeah, we... Well,
not threaten, but like...
Didn't threaten.
Ultimatum.
But, yeah, it was... Because he kept walking past you in the morning. So you say morning, he'll walk past you. And...
Wouldn't say hello.
So we all noticed it. So one day we said, right, this is how we're going to get him back. If he does it again, we'll nail him against the wall and we'll cut his ponytail off. So...
That seems
and
fair.
It was like Dave Seaman, Tony Adams, and all that, and him against the wall. And I had the scissors. And he went, I'm really sorry, I didn't realise you do that. And after that, he was good as gold. Morning, afternoon, evening. No, you don't have to do it.
Phone you up, good night, boys, good night.
You've got 11s. Starting off as his supper.
Afternoon. No, Manu, you know, you don't have to always say it.
But
he didn't realise. And in France, he said, when they played in France, it was a job for him. They weren't mates. You finish training, you all go home. Oh. They didn't even talk to each other. So it weren't no spirit there.
Oh, okay. And
so in the end, they loved it.
What was Colo Touré like?
Touré was good as gold, yeah. Colo come into the club, he got a new pair of boots, he was over the moon with that. He's like, oh, I've got a new pair of boots. Vic Akers gave him a pair of boots. And then it was a trial, he was here for a trial. So... I think he come from a Belgium team called Beveren. So, yeah.
Did he go in on everyone? Like,
yeah. So
miles an
this
hour.
Is what we used to do. So we used to line a back four up. The back four that day was Lauren, Martin Keown, Colo Touré, Ashley Cole left back. Against them was myself on the right, Henri Bergkamp, Vieira midfield, with a little youth team player just in front. And I think it was Perez on the left.
Yeah.
So right, all he's got to do is try and, you know, stop it. It's a little bit of shadow play. He ain't getting too mad and whatever. So he's marking Thierry Henry. Always remember, the ball goes into Thierry. And Colo Torres wipes him out, proper. Like, this is a trialist, wiping their best player out. And all you heard was Arsene Wenger, Colo, no tackles. And even Martin's going, Colo, don't kick him. No. Anyway, so they change over. Bergkamp's on him now. So next ball goes in. Colo's took Bergkamp out. I'm like, oh. Colo! No tackle. If they take them two out, we can't win the league. Yeah. Simple. They're their best players. So now, sorry, coach. Anyway, he was a little bit all over the place. Yeah. And he was a little bit. Anyway, the ball comes in next one, and he's made a good interception. So the ball's span up, and he's like, he's watching the ball. So the Wenger used to stick right in the middle of the midfield and the defence to see the movement.
Yeah.
So if you move inside, he's got to move outside and all that. So the ball span up and Colo still, it's landed right at Arsene Wenger's feet. He's controlled it. Boof!
Shut up.
Colo Torres took the manager out. Two-footed him.
He's raw though.
He's gone, Wenger's gone down. He's on the floor. Sorry, coach. Now, we're all laughing. We are laughing. Oh, he didn't have that one. They didn't have their man then.
You've said two funny things here, Jim. So, what's going on?
Here it is, guys. Saved him.
Right on me.
Oh, no, you're on, man. You're cheating. Oh, right. You saved it up all series.
That leaves me enough time just get the winner.
Yeah, but I've got two laughs in a show. Fuck me. What's going on here? He's shown up, hasn't he?
Fuck off, Beckett.
Like,
go on, mate.
Is it a season's worth of highlights from when you played at home?
Brilliant.
Anyway, on, yeah, that was about that's Ray, a fucking good game with you two. Yeah.
It ain't about you,
it might go into time. This might go into time.
Sorry,
yeah.
Ray. It's about you. He's like that. These comics are like that.
Anyway, so Wenger now, he limps off. He's, the training's finished. Colo Torre is distraught in training. He can't believe it. He's, yeah. Big chance. He's took out Bergkamp, Henri, and the manager. So I felt sorry for him a little bit. He's nearly crying, poor sod. I think he thought he had to give the boots back as well if he didn't get in. But anyway, I finished my lunch. I went downstairs. I walk into the medical room to see Gary Lewin. And who's sitting in the corner? Arsene Wenger. Big ice pack on his ankle. He's going, oh. I said, boss. And I was trying to stick up for him. I said, boss, I don't think he meant it. You know, he's a very raw player. Yeah. And he's, you know, he's enthusiastic. And, he didn't mean to do it. And he went, look at my ankle. And had a big lump on it and all sorts. So he looked around. He said, Wenger's a very fair man. He went, Ray, I like his desire. We sign him tomorrow. And that was it. They signed really? Him. Yeah. Yeah. They signed him like that. And he was there for 9 years. They signed him for what? £500,000?
Really? Mm.
And they sold him for like £14 million.
But you signed him off the back of just taking out three players.
No. But he liked what he see otherwise as well. And he liked it. He could coach him into a good side.
I heard he was a forward. Before
well,
he
wouldn't have played midfield,
Arsenal.
But he weren't fit enough. Yeah, no. He weren't fit enough.
What about...
him and Sol Campbell, different class.
What about Stepanovs? Was that you winding up Keown?
Yeah, Martin was easy. He bit all the time, Martin. He was one of those sort of characters you could easily wind him up. And so he didn't like trialists coming in at centre-half. He hated it because he's thinking, I ain't going to play here. So we had a trialist when we was in on tour, and we had a trialist centre-half, Stepanovs.
Igor Stepanovs.
And we're all sitting on the bench, and we're trying to get a little bite out of him. So every single pass he made, this Igor Stepanovs, we was clapping him. What a fucking pass, Igor. Fucking dim and classy centre-half. Anyway, Wenger's obviously sitting on the bench along a little
and
bit.
And who's saying this? You and...
Well, we had Bergkamp, a few of us were on there. I can't remember. I know Dennis was definitely on there, because Dennis was the one who really... Yeah. He hit this ball probably 15, 20 yards across the pitch, and everybody stood up clapping, except Martin at the end. Then all of a sudden, Bergkamp went, I want to play against this guy every week. He's not bad at the back.
Oh. Did he make sure Wenger heard it?
Yeah. And then it was one of them, Martin bit. Oh, he ain't that good. He's missed that tackle, So I don't think nothing of it. We're just having a wind up. That dinner at night, we had a laugh and went, how funny was that? Brilliant. Anyway, 2 weeks later, back at the training ground, walking, who's sitting there? He goes, Stepanovs. And he talked like Borat. I like it. It's very nice. It's very nice. I said, what are you doing here, Igor? They signed me a 4-year contract. I was like, fuck you, what? And what the story was is that I think Wenger's been listening to all the lads along the bench going, what a player. And Bergkamp. And obviously, he don't know which one we're trying to wind Martin up. So we get him on the pitch out in the training ground. And no disrespect to anybody lower divisions. He was a yard behind everyone. Didn't understand what to do. Yeah. And he was never going to play. And then all of a sudden... We had the biggest injury crisis we had in the whole club, the centre-half position. The only fit centre-half we got is Igor Stepanovs. And we were playing that weekend, Manchester United, Old Trafford. So we're thinking, this is going to be a long afternoon, I promise you now. So we go 1-0 after 3 minutes. We equalise, Henri. We're thinking, that dude, we take that 1-1. Yeah. All of a sudden, Dwight York and Andy Coe up front for Man United with different class. 2-1 Man United, 3-1 Man United, 4-1 Man United, 5-1 Man United. And the half-time whistle goes. We're going, oh, thank God for that. David Seaman's like an octopus in goal. He's like, he could have been like 12-1 half time. So as I'm walking down the tunnel, Dwight York was walking alongside me and he looks at me and he went, where the fuck did you get that centre half from? And I said, it's a long story, Dwight.
So I went to Martin Keown wind up.
I went right into the dressing room area and there was Wenger. And he's the most calmest character ever, usually. Recover, and that's it. All of a sudden, he starts swearing, fucking disgrace you lot, in a French accent, fucking joke. And do you know when you're sitting there like that, you're five-one down, and do you know when it don't suit someone? Like, George Graham, it suited him to swear. Yeah. Sir Alex Ferguson, all them sort of guys, it suits him. Jimmy's probably played with managers, it suits him to swear. Yeah. But Wenger, it doesn't. He's like, fucking joke. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, don't fucking laugh, for fuck's sake. It was like that scene in the older Romans, when if one fucking laughs, everyone's going to fucking laugh. And Pat Weiss is over there going, don't fucking laugh, please don't laugh. And he's trying to tell us off. I'm looking down at his feet and thinking, oh, don't look at any eye contact. If I get eye contact, I start laughing, we're in trouble. And in the end, we lost 6-1. And he go, oh, poor sod. He never played again.
Oh, dear. No,
really?
He had a great time. Keown was like, well, he had a great time, four-year contract.
Keown was rubbing his hands together.
Four-year contract.
Yeah, he got a four-year contract. And he used to fly back to Latvia. He comes, he go, oh, the Arsenal legend. I like it. Every time he says, why don't you go on loan? He go, I like it. It's nice.
Did he go on to play anywhere else?
He went back to Latvia, I think. I don't think he stayed. Oh, Switzerland he went. Yeah. But you didn't really see him a lot after that.
No, I heard one story I heard with Ray. I don't know if it's true.
What, Marnie Martin up about?
No, it was
final.
When he was at Borough.
Big Nose.
This is the governor. Please do this one. This one kills me.
Oh, we've got a couple of questions about England as well.
Kills me.
I went to Borough and obviously. Well, Gareth was my teammate at the time. Yeah. And I've got lots of respect for Gareth and great player. England manager.
That pizza advert.
Fair enough.
How much money do you need, fuck's sake? Oh, we all missed the penalty. Let's have a pizza. Fuck off. Give me an extinguisher. I'll take his head off.
We need that extinguisher back. He's got this big meeting. Now, he pulls us in a minute. Pulls us in this big room where we used to watch all the...
He's just come in as gaffer, right?
He's going to come in as gaffer and introduce and say, this is what's going to go on in the future. And we had all the laundrette women in there. We had all the chefs in there. Right. Everybody involved in training ground. It's packed in there. Yeah. So I'm sitting next to Steve Harrison, who's the most funniest man ever. He was like a coach. And Lee Catamull was sitting alongside me. So he comes in, and got Viduka's at the front, and Hasselbank, and all the boys in there. And anyway, he comes in, right, lads, I'm going to take this club forward. And he's like, oh, fucking, how's he going to do that then? So this is what I'm changing. If you're late, bang, 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 we're going to get this training a little bit more sharper and this, that, whatever. So it comes to a stage where he goes, right, from now on, lads, I know it's going to be difficult for you because you know me as Gareth, and Gate was his nickname. But I want you to call me Gaffer, Boss, all this. So anyway, and then he goes on to something else about... You know, discipline and this, that, whatever. Fucking, but it's getting really boring now.
Yeah.
So we're sitting in this little, Steve Everson going, fuck, you know, he's waffling on now, isn't he? So right at the end of the meeting, this is our assistant. Right at the end of the meeting. He says, right from now on in, lads. So Gareth and Gate, but if you can call me Boss or Gaffer. And I was in there, I went, Bat Big Nose, like that. And it was really loud. So instead of him saying, you got a big nose and all, and I would have started laughing, everybody started laughing, he went, oh, God, he didn't know what to say. So Steve Harrison, Lee Catamull nearly was laughing, everyone was like looking, didn't know what to do. So as I'm walking out of the room, he says, you're in the reserves today. I went, what? What do you mean? He said, no, you're in the reserves. So I had to go and train with the reserves. He dropped me for that. Oh, yeah. And he didn't like no banter or whatsoever.
No.
So next minute, he's put me in a reserve game. I played the reserves one night. I tried my best. It was like playing another cup final. So done everything right.
Yeah.
Played really well. And Malcolm Crosby, another coach I had, comes down after the game. Oh, he was fantastic. I said, I expect to be in that first team tomorrow. Yeah. First team squad again. So as I go in training,
he's a senior player then as well.
Yeah, 34.
Yeah.
So as I go into training next day, you're in reserve still, and I said, "That's it, I'm leaving." So and then I went to see the guy running it, Keith Lamb at the time. I had 6 months of my contract left.
Yeah.
I said, "Give me 3 months up front, and you have the other 3 months. I'm leaving today." And that's when I went back to London.
Really? Just
called him Big Nose. Well, he wasn't going to give me a chance. So
Whether it's
because I called him that, but he was probably wanting me out anyway.
Yeah, one of them.
Because he knew what I was like as a player and whatever.
And what
about a big nose? Did you?
Did you? He should have said you got a big nose at all.
Shouldn't he?
Obviously, I know.
Did you have a bit of a problem with Hoddle as well, with laughing at his methods a bit?
Yeah, that was early doors. But he was a good player, Glenn Hoddle. He was a little bit, you know, man management he didn't have none of.
Yeah.
He was a very good coach, but man management skills was terrible. If you could buy Harry Redknapp and probably Glenn Hoddle's coach, it would have been a great match.
Yeah.
But it was a situation early in his career, England career, and he had this faith healer, like Ian Drury.
Yeah.
So I got injured in training, so I've gone to see Gary Lewin, our physio, and he knew
what?
I played...
A faith healer.
This lady used to come in. It was big news then. It was big news.
Yeah.
This is the 97-98 season.
He's always got like mad methods.
Yeah. Well, he came out when he got sacked for England, what he said.
Oh, you know
what
I mean? Yeah.
You can see what sort of guy he was.
Yeah.
So I've gone to see Gary Lewin. I said, Gal, I've just pulled my hamstring slightly. I might have to go and get a scan or something, see how bad it is. So he knew I played through injuries. This is a big season. We won a double that season. So I was just about to walk out of the medical room, go for my scan. And all of a sudden, Glenn Hoddle walks in. What you done, son? All right, boss, I think I pulled my hamstring on my calf, top of my calf. So he went, before you go for your scan, I want you to go see my fay feeler, Eileen Drury. She was in room 36. I went, fucking hell. So Robbie Fowler was sitting next to me. He started laughing. Like, fucking hell. I said, Gary went, yes, boss, I'll send him straight up. So off I go up the stairs, get to room 36, knock on the door. She opens the door. Can you come and sit on that chair, please, Ray? So I sit on his chair. I'm thinking, I've got to lay flat on the bed, surely. I've got a bad calf. You know, she should be touching the back of my calf. Not. Yeah. I'm sitting on the chair like the guys we're sitting on now, a normal chair. So next minute, she pulls the curtains. And I was thinking, I've been some seedy gaffes with Tony Adams, but this could be one of them. Where's the pole? Is there a pole in it? So next week, she disappears, comes back out. She's circling me, right? And I'm thinking, what's she going to do? Then all of a sudden, she puts her hands on the back of my head. And I had longer hair. I said, short back and sides, Eileen, while you're there. So I start laughing. She starts laughing. I don't think nothing of it. So I end up going for my scan. I'm out for about a week. Not a major injury.
Did she do it after she touched your hair?
Then I got in the bed. She touched my calf a little bit.
Yeah.
I was still out for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
She ain't going to make me better, is she, by touching my calf.
What else did she touch, right?
Yeah, all right. No, nothing else, Jim.
No,
not my middle leg, don't worry. So it was one of those situations. I got fit again, playing really well, out my skin for Arsenal, playing really well every week. Next squad comes out, I'm not in it. So now the boss asked me, why are you not in the squad? I said, oh, boss, ain't I said. He was in the back page of the newspapers because the press put it all in the papers.
Oh, right.
About short back and sides.
Yeah.
That's not a bit of fun.
Not good publicity, though, for Glenn Hoddle.
Yeah.
For his fay feeler, because everybody thought, oh, he's
just weird anyway.
But who did someone leak that?
Yeah, someone leaked it. So what happened was, she's gone down and told her husband, he's had a few pints at the bar, he's told a couple of players, not players alike, they tell their agents. Yeah. Next minute, it's in the back of the papers. Yeah. Simple. So anyway, it's leaked out. I'm playing out my skin. So Wenger said, look, it's a big season for England.
Again, so France got the FA Cup in the...
No, this was 2002. But this is when I got man of match at Newcastle. Yeah. I can't play no better. I've got to play the season at Arsenal. So this is the last squad you had to get in to go to La Manga to get cut. This is where Gazza smashed the room up that time. So it was 30 players cut down to 25. So five were missing out. But I wasn't even in the 30 to go to La Manga. So now Arsene Wenger phones Hoddle and finds out why. And he says, disrespected his faith. And he would never pick me again. And Wenger said, do you want to hope he gets sacked? That's what he said to me.
What's that got to do with a...
So when he got sacked, I had a massive party and Kevin Keegan got the job. I was back in the squad. I couldn't believe it. I was like, where's McDonald?
It was a bit of a very different approach from Keegan, was it?
Yeah, Keegan was totally opposite. We was never going to win anything. What a laugh, though. He was like going to Las Vegas for the week.
Did he stick in them?
He had racing posts all around the room. Every breakfast, racing posts.
Really?
Who wants a play spot? Yes, boss, I'll have one. Nice one. Lucky 15, yeah, I'll have one, boss. Yeah, go.
Didn't he stitch up Shearer and Sheringham?
We used to have a race night every poly ball. More or less every night we had a race night. So a big screen comes up. You watch the old horse racing.
Yeah.
But one night, Teddy and Alan Shearer are bookmakers. But he's gone round everybody's room except Alan Shearer and Teddy Sheringham. But he's gone in the video room, looked at the first result, first race on the tape. Yeah. Them days it was tape. Rewound it back and put it on top. So I'll get a knock on my door. It's Kevin Keegan, all right, boss. He went back number six in the first race. He's gone round everybody's room. So I get into this room and we got a lot of money with us. I mean, I got about $4,000 with me. So I'm thinking, and little Dennis Wise was there. Mm. Wise and Paul Lintz was there. So I said, Inty, did you get a knock on your door? He said, yeah, Wise, I've got a few quid here as well. So what he used to do before the race, give me an early bird price before the video goes in. So Keegan at front, number six, 8-1. We're going 8-1, get in there. So we're robbing all this money on. It's serious money. The video's not even gone in yet. Well, it was a serious amount of money. And what happened was, is that we put the video in, it's gone through the horses, obviously. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and whatever. Six is up in class, could struggle to get a place. We're going, oh no. And Keegan went, I must have picked the wrong horse. Sorry, lads. Now we're thinking, is he stitching us up now? I don't know. Keegan, Teddy Sheringham's going, get in there, they got the wrong horse. So no, the race starts. Anyway, 2 furlongs out. We always remember, I look around, Keegan's found a stick from somewhere. And he's hissing his arse running around the room, video room. Go on, here it comes, lads, here it comes. finishing late. And he wins by a nose. We're running around the room, they've lost all this money. Get in there. So Keegan stands up at the end. He says, what a night that was, lads, wasn't it? Great night, wasn't it? Teddy Sheringham and Alan Shearer. It's like the Medusa's looked at them. And like, we got basically qualified 2 days' time. These are our best players, the best strikers.
They got stung.
Yeah. So anyway, right, lads, this is the plan tomorrow. 8 o'clock breakfast. We look at the racing post. We got a bit of credit now, lads. We have a few bets tomorrow. And we'll all go try. And I'll tell you the team. And when we do our set plays, and we win the game Saturday. Yes, boss, nice one. So as we're walking out of the room, Come back. So as we're walking again, obviously it was a wind up. We weren't going to take all their money. Everyone got all their money back. And all the lads were laughing. Fantastic. What a night. That was fantastic. And in the end, we went out. We ended up going playing cards all night. Something like that. But that's the sort of...
Brilliant.
Yeah, Keegan was a, he was a legend. Class. I loved Keegan.
Was Shearer a good laugh? Because he seems like... he loved the card school. He was quite serious.
He was like Father Christmas in the card school, Zell. He'd always go... We used to play three card break. Blind and open. And he'd go blind. You open. You know, you had to keep putting in.
Yeah.
Until he... And then he'd pick it up.
He was on good money, though, wasn't he?
He'd pick his cards up and go, 500 open. I'd just say, I'll put 800 in there. I'll see you. Oh, I got 8 iron. So I called him Father Christmas.
Love it.
But he sometimes hit the nail on the head and got a big hand. You're done.
Wicked. Well, I think that's it. We don't want to keep you too long, Ray. Thanks so much for coming in.
No worries, mate.
Cheers, Ray.
Cheers, guys.
Man. Very
good.
Great finale guest of the series.
Even though yours late.
Is that the final one, is it?
Of the series, yeah. That's the last one. It's been a great series. Hope you've all enjoyed it.
When do I pick my bed up?
You want a mattress off Lisa, didn't you?
When's my mattress coming? I've been promised a mattress since the beginning of the series. I ain't got fuck all.
Well, you keep turning up late, that's why.
You should think of some more gags then.
Jimmy's done two this series.
Right, that's 3-1 Beckett.
Right, okay. Thanks for listening. Please rate the series. Give us a review on iTunes. Get us up a chart. And any comments are at Dave Magic Sponge on Twitter. Any suggestions for features or anything like that. And guests you want to hear from, let us know what guests you want. Thanks to Ray Parler, brilliant guest.
Nice one, boys.
And to Jimmy Burlard, Ian Swift, producers. Oh, I've been Rob Beckett. Thank you very much for listening. Bye.
Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.
The Magic Sponge is a .. production for Dave, hosted by Rob Beckett, Jimmy Billard, and Ian Smith.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Would you give your mum, dad, aunt, or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got 6 comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos, and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this? What is...
I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising people.
Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.